The day before, Friday the 22nd of December, 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. 1. Carol.
No, please, you go first.
The elderly man smiled gratefully as the young blonde woman held the train door open for him. He'd read the Daily Mail. These, what was it they called them? Millennials? Anyway, according to the papers, the young ones these days were all supposed to be so entitled and self-centred that they didn't give a hoot for anyone else. But this young lady certainly didn't fall into that category. Actually, now that their faces were so close together, maybe not so young. Perhaps late 20s, 30s. Pretty, and without all that makeup the young ones wear nowadays. Eyebrows like snails, some of them. But not this lovely woman. Carol returned his smile and held the train door open until the gent had, painstakingly slowly, climbed the step onto the train. No hurry. She'd waited this long to make the journey south to Glasgow, although right now there was a huge part of her that wanted to stay in the comforting cocoon of her home city. Aberdeen train station was bustling with commuters arriving from less expensive postcodes. A city with the third largest population in Scotland, after Glasgow and Edinburgh, in the heyday of the oil industry, this had been boomtown. The black gold that was pumped in from the oil rigs off the coast had seeped into every brick of the granite that lined the streets, bringing American oil companies, financial investment, big spenders and an air of confidence that it would last forever. It didn't. Only a couple of years ago, revenue suddenly plummeted, profits turned to losses, jobs disappeared, lives were ruined, and the city was shaken to its grey stone foundations, a catastrophe made so much worse because they didn't see it coming. That wasn't a mistake that Carol would make today. She had taken her time, thought this through, prepared herself for the juggernaut that she feared could come her way over the next 24 hours. The irony was that today, the 22nd of December, should have been a day of chilled-out relaxation after all the bedlam of the last couple of weeks in school. It, and all the other school holidays, were marked on her phone diary with the party emoji. Not that she didn't love her job, because she adored it. Even on the toughest days, she never regretted her career choice. But December in a primary school required more complex logistical planning than three wise men could muster without the aid of a team of helpers. There was the nativity show, the Christmas concert, the festive fair, the end-of-term party, and of course the added challenge of managing 30 11-year-old children who were overly excited about the prospect of a two-week holiday and who only wanted to study the gift sections of the Argos catalogue. When they charged out of school at home time yesterday, leaving her desk almost entirely obscured by tubs of chocolates, scented candles, and, from the more switched-on parents, bottles of Prosecco, she'd been both sad to see them go and relieved that it would be 2 weeks until she saw them again. Today, she should be doing nothing more taxing than putting her feet up with a good book. It wasn't too late to change her mind about going. She could get off the train now, forget about the trip, run for the hills, or at least for her sofa with a Jilly Cooper and one of those bottles of Prosecco. The thought was squashed by the sight of the old man struggling to put a leather holdall into the overhead rack. Carol stepped in. "Shall I do that for you?" He gratefully accepted. One push and it was sorted. Carol slid into one of the empty seats, put her leather satchel on the one beside her. She'd move it if anyone else needed the place. Couldn't stand those selfish gits that blocked off a seat with her bag so they didn't have to share a space with a stranger. Her new acquaintance, still standing in the aisle, removed his hat and scarf and gestured to the two empty seats facing her across a Formica table.
"Do you mind?" he asked.
"Not at all," she replied, smiling. He lowered his aching frame into the seat, placed his possessions, hat, scarf, paper, on the table between them. Normally, Carol would take out her Kindle, lose herself in a book, hope that no one would strike up a conversation, but not today.